Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the Pull the Trigger podcast, in which we discuss entries on Apple's top 100 albums of all time. This episode is going to be unique for two reasons. One, both of the albums being discussed today are instrumental jazz albums, minus A Love Supreme's title track. And two, it's just me on the microphone, although you may hear my dog Carla roaming around in the background. Sorry if you were hoping to hear that banter that this podcast usually brings. It will be back soon enough. For now, let's get into my favorite jazz albums. John Coltrane, A Love Supreme, is from 1965. It ranks 54th on Apple's best albums of all time. Overview, A Love Supreme is a deeply spiritual work, reflecting John Coltrane's religious awakening and quest for higher understanding through music. It's structured as a four-part suite. You have acknowledgement, resolution, pursuance, and psalm. The first track, of course, is acknowledgement, and you will hear the title, A Love Supreme, mentioned at the end. It begins with a sort of solemn bass motif by Jimmy Garrison, around which the entire suite is built. What does it feature? You're going to hear John Coltrane stating the theme and vocally chanting A Love Supreme in a rare vocal moment. Of course, the solos of this particular track are improvisations, which is common for jazz in this time period, and it builds the spiritual intensity. The vibe, majestic and prayerful, the initiation of a sacred journey. The next track you're going to hear is Resolution. Comes in at 7 minutes and 19 seconds. It's more structured with more harmonized melody. One of the things that you're going to notice its features is going to be Elvin Jones's drumming power, the movement forward with thunderous polyrhythms. Again, the solos, John Coltrane's tenor work here, it's fierce and it's searching. And one of the things you will definitely notice is the sharpness of John Coltrane's saxophone. Throughout most of his albums, it's really noticeable on this one. The vibe here is determined and declarative, as if it's affirming for a higher purpose. And at this point, you're into about 20 minutes worth of music. The next track is Pursuance. It comes in at 10 minutes and 41 seconds. One thing you're going to notice right at the very beginning, Elvin Jones's drum solo just comes out of the gate, almost volcanic-like. The features here are going to be the fastest and most explosive section. McCoy Tyner's piano on this track is mesmerizing. It's dazzling. His solo is something you'll never forget once you hear it. The solos by John Coltrane are both urgent and ecstatic. They push boundaries here. One of the things that you'll notice on this particular album, more so than his previous work, John Coltrane's willingness to experiment and go a little outside what you consider normal jazz of the time period. The vibe, it's unrelenting, it's passionate, and it's rhythmically driven. It's pure momentum. The last track is Psalm. It's 7 minutes and 5 seconds. The structure, Coltrane plays a devotional poem on his saxophone line by line without words. The features, there's no traditional melody or soloing. It's just pure emotive expression. Truly a unique track, even within this album. The vibe, it's transcendent. It's deeply spiritual. It's meditative. It's a final prayer. Folks, one of the things that you're going to notice with this album is it's definitely uplifting and somewhat discomforting at the same time, which truly makes this a unique piece of work. It's not my favorite Coltrane piece. That would be Blue Train. But this is still one album that I feel you should definitely own and you should definitely give a listen. It's something you'll never forget. One of the moments for this podcast to get to, and that is going to be 1959's Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. This album ranks 25th on Apple Music's top 100 best albums of all time. Kind of Blue is a landmark. It introduces modal jazz with its emphasis on musical modes more so than chord progressions. This approach allowed for greater improvisational freedom, resulting in a relaxed and spacious sound that was revolutionary at the time. In fact, I would argue, of the 1950s, there is no jazz album that sounds like Kind of Blue. While today we might consider it a safe play, considering Miles Davis's work in the 60s, 70s, and 80s being way more progressive. But at that time, this was out there. So let's get into it. The first track, iconic, it's So What. Again, we're not going to focus so much on chord progressions because really that's not the point. The structure that you're going to hear on this song is A, A, B, and A. It's based on two modes, D Dorian and E flat Dorian. The features are a legendary bass line by Paul Chambers. You've heard it, you'll recognize it instantly. Followed by a call and response piano motif from Bill Evans. And you're probably noticing something here. Bill Evans, Tyner McCoy, aren't those two of the best piano players to ever be involved in jazz music? You would be correct. Another thing you're going to notice, solos. The first one is Miles Davis. It's cool. It's minimal. John Coltrane is the saxophone player on this album. And one of the things that you will notice, John Coltrane's solos are every bit of what you expect to hear from John Coltrane. This song is no different. John Coltrane loved layers upon sound. He can do that with his saxophone here. Sheets of sound approach is very apparent. And then we have Cannonball Adderley. It's bluesy. It's melodic. It's amazing. The vibe, it's cool. It's spacious. And honestly, if I was going to introduce someone to jazz music, this is probably one of the songs that I'm going to do. And if we're going to talk about modal jazz, without a second thought, I should say, I'm going to give you this track to listen to. So let's move on to the next track. It's Freddie Freeloader. It comes in at 9 minutes and 46 seconds. It's traditional 12-bar blues. Wynton Kelly replaces Bill Evans on the piano for more of a swingy blues-style feel. Adderley brings his soulful expressiveness. Coltrane, of course, being exploratory. Miles is restrained but melodic. But these solos all make sense. They all belong. And it's such a comforting feel. The vibe, again, it's earthy. It's relaxed. It's more rooted in blues tradition. But don't get too comfortable with that blues-style sound. Because we're moving on to Blue and Green. 5 minutes and 37 seconds of arguably the best jazz you'll ever hear in your entire life. The structure, it's circular. There's a chord sequence there, but it moves slowly and hauntingly. This track is composed mainly by Bill Evans. He's officially co-credited. It's a ballad, and it oozes melancholy. What I like about this song, there are no words, but it says everything you need to hear. The instruments will speak to your soul in a way that most other songs can't. Miles Davis plays a muted trumpet here, and the solo just haunts your heart. And then Coltrane comes in, and it's just that thought in your soul and in your heart. And they're talking with one another together. And they have Coltrane and Miles simulate that conversation perfectly. The vibe, it's meditative. There's a lot of sorrow. But at the same time, the song is hauntingly beautiful. Absolutely masterclass. One of the songs that I would argue that you need to hear before you die. So let's move on to track 4. It's 11 minutes and 33 seconds. And it's called All Blues. Interestingly enough, it's probably the most structured because there's a definite 6-8 time signature here. But it has a modal twist. It's blues, but it's not blues, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Miles is going to play a riff over a repeated vamp. Evans is going to provide textural piano work on this track. This solo sections here, it's everybody. Everybody who's on this song gets a solo piece. And it's almost conversational. Again, there's no words on this album, but this particular track is definitely having a conversation with each other, but not with their mouths, with their instruments. And I love the back and forth play of everyone in this particular song. It's warm, it's hypnotic, rhythmically, it's engaging. At this point in time, I want to say by my second or third listen, I realized I was listening to something truly special. I have several versions of this album, and I will say that my favorite was the first version I ever bought, which was the 1997 remaster, where they actually make sure that the timing of all of these songs is correct. Some of these records were recorded on a tape moving a little bit too slowly, so everything sounds a bit sharp. The 1997 remaster fixes it. I want to say that the mastering is just perfect. There's a lot of depth between the quiet notes and the loud notes, and there's just that slight hint of reverb. If you get a chance to hear it in mono, I would highly recommend that. I made my own folded down mono version. I enjoy most of it, except for my alternate take of Flamenco Sketches, where I missed a section and Miles comes in a bit sharp. Speaking of Flamenco Sketches, we're going to go to the original last track on this album, which is not the alternate take, but the original take of Flamenco Sketches. Original take of Flamenco Sketches. Comes in at 9 minutes and 26 seconds. There really is no fixed form here. There's 5 scales or modes, and they're played in sequence. Each musician improvises freely over the modes. It's inspired by Spanish music, if you were wondering. It feels like a slow but emotional suite. The solos here are Miles and Evans leading with delicate phrasing. But the introspectiveness isn't from Miles, it isn't from Evans, it's from John Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley. The vibe here, it's abstract, and it's something you really can't put your finger on because it's free-floating, but it's ethereal. Think of your Britpop that was a little more shoegaze-influenced, dream pop-influenced, like say your Lush bands, like Lush or Ride. There'll be elements of that in their music that you hear in this song. Folks, I really don't know what to tell you on this particular album. I love every single track. This is a must-listen to album. You need to sit down and listen to it and enjoy it and embrace it. And then you need to go back and press play again and listen again and again and again, because I can assure you, you haven't heard it all, even though it's only 5 tracks. In fact, today's podcast was 2 albums and 9 songs. And I'm going to tell you that both of these albums are something that you just need to not just listen to, but experience. And folks, with that, I'm going to tell you that next week, hopefully, we're back in full with Monster and Hodge. And the albums we're going to dive into next week are going to be The Clash's London Calling and Exodus by Bob Marley. And with that, life is too short for bad coffee and bad music. I'm Trigger, and I'll see you next time.